Like many of you, I'm sure, I was in my younger days an avid fan of Lord of the Rings. I still have my original copy from my university days. It was a purchase of great cost for a poor student, and it's much read. The covers have fallen off it and the pages are dog-eared. Robert also loved them, and so when the movies came out in around 2000, 2001, we were very eager to go. I came out from those movies reeling. I didn't enjoy them at all. I thought them to be too full of fighting and war and terror and bloodshed. Robert was really surprised. But that was all in the books, he said. How could you not have expected it in the film? And it was then I realised just how differently Robert and I read. Yes, I did know that there were epic battle scenes, but I had never bothered to visualise those parts. For me, it was always the quest, the scenery, the elves, the walking trees, the wisdom of Gandalf, Frodo's internal battle between power and knowledge, and the wreck that uncontrolled power had made of Gollum. We had both read the same story, but we'd both concentrated on different parts. Do you remember last week I asked if John the Baptist was talking about the same coming king as the Isaiah reading and the psalm? They spoke of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord and justice, righteousness, prosperity, deliverance. And John spoke about the time to come in terms of a winnowing fork, an unquenchable fire, and wrath. John clearly had an inkling as to who Jesus was. At Jesus' baptism by John, Matthew records John as saying he needed to be baptized by Jesus and not the other way around. It was clear that the people were expecting a Messiah, a saviour. The prophet had spoken of it for hundreds of years, and the people were certainly in need of a saviour, as second-class citizens in their own country under control of the Romans. And it seems that although many hoped Jesus was the one, he didn't act in the way that they were expecting. John's gospel has that beautiful line at the end of the feeding of the 500. When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him their king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And in today's passage, Jesus alludes to their desire for a king when he asks the crowds, why did they listen to John? If they wanted a king in a palace with beautiful soft robes, then why did they go out to John in the wilderness? That wasn't what he was offering. Much has been speculated about John's questioning of Jesus when he was in prison. Was his faith wavering? He was, after all, prisoned, having proclaimed the coming of the Messiah. He now doesn't seem to have very much to do with it happening. But I don't think that's what's happening in this story at all. Remember, John was preaching of judgment and fire and winnowing forks. They certainly are prophetic messages claiming the Messiah. But we're now in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. In chapters 5 to 7, Jesus has taught the people extensively. And in chapters 8 and 9, he has done miraculous deeds. John has heard what Jesus was doing, remember. What he has been doing is cleansing a leper, healing a centurion's servant, healing Peter's mother-in-law, stilling a storm, healing people possessed of demons, paralyzed, eating with sinners, restoring a girl to life, and curing blindness. And not only that, then in chapter 10, he sends his disciples out to do the same. So John has heard all these things, and they don't sound much like the fiery judgment of the coming one. Had they been reading the same book? Hence the question, is Jesus the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Jesus often answered questions obliquely, and he does so here. He doesn't speak of who he is, but of what he has done. Verse 4 of the reading that we had from Isaiah says, "Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. John would have understood those words, but instead, Jesus answers with verse 5 from the Isaiah reading, speaking of compassionate acts of healing and good news and blessing. Yes, Jesus is the one to come. In his teaching and his actions, he fulfills the prophets of old. But in filling the role of the Messiah, he also transforms it. When we say Jesus is the Messiah, we are saying something about Jesus, but we are also saying something about the meaning of Messiah. People of Jesus' day had their own expectations of who the Messiah would be and what the Messiah would do. They measured Jesus against this criteria, and he didn't fit all that well. But the Messiah wasn't coming to realise a set of values that the people had visualised, however much they'd referenced the scriptures. The Messiah would substantiate all the scriptures in ways unimaginable to human limited expectations. That Jesus is the Messiah was one of the earliest creeds or statements of faith. Do you remember again in John's Gospel that Andrew and Simon Peter were first followers of John? And then Andrew followed Jesus and went back to find his brother Simon Peter and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." In Advent, we look in expectation for the coming of the Messiah. The readings have told us what to expect, and we are in no doubt that the Messiah will come. The question we ask is the identity of the Messiah. In answering John, Jesus isn't trying to tell him who he is, in other words, verifying Jesus' identity. Jesus is declaring that the Messiah has come and is found in the person of Jesus. As the Messiah, Jesus is not just a great teacher, healer, and prophet. He is the fulfillment of the promise and the presence of God in Israel. He will fulfill this promise in ways unthinkable to the people at the time. As Christianity spread beyond its Jewish roots, the term Messiah became less common and was replaced by Christ, Jesus the Christ. Advent invites us to immerse ourselves in the coming Christ, in that fulfillment of the promise and the presence of God. And John's question becomes ours as well. In the circumstances in which we live, do we think Jesus fulfills God's promise? In our world where so few have so much and so many not enough, where power lies with those who would war, where does Jesus' way of gentleness and non-retaliation sit? Will it ever be enough? As we read statistics of emptying churches and rises of numbers who claim no religion in the census, where do we look for the future? When we hear the ways that people treat each other, are we not surprised to hear people ask, "Is there really a God who knows and cares?" When we experience the unexpected, is that God's plan? Is a valid question. God promises reversals of power. In Isaiah, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame shall walk. John the Baptist sends a message to Jesus asking, "Is he the one for whom they've been waiting?" And Jesus answers, "Do you see the blind who can see, the deaf who can hear, and the lame who can walk?" Advent promises the coming of the Messiah. Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise in the most unexpected ways. The world still asks the questions. What is the future? Is there really a God who knows and cares? And if so, what is God's plan? And Advent offers us the chance to join with Andrew and declare, we have found the Messiah. The Messiah is Jesus.